أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. Tonight, as you know, is the night of Ashura, and I think it's better just to talk about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and some of his qualities, and then judge why such a noble soul was driven to take such a drastic act that we witnessed in Karbala. And not for himself only, but for his companions, for his family, and for his household. It's sometimes heard that people say Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam were very different from each other. And one was the epitome of peace and forgiveness, and the other one was the epitome of resistance and uprising. And therefore, they were chosen for these two different times. However, I think this is somehow unjust with regards to both these noble souls. They were actually the same. They were just like one soul in two bodies. However, the circumstances drove Imam Hussein to take such a drastic move. And if Imam Hassan alayhi salam was there in that time, he would have taken the same action. Now, just to bring to our mind the type of character of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, we are familiar with Imam Hussein alayhi salam through Dua Arafah, isn't it? That noble soul, the way he speaks to God, the way he asks forgiveness for himself, for others, the way he asks those very highly noble traits of character with regards to his interaction with others. That noble soul, of course, we know through Dua Arafah. However, I want to mention a couple of hadith and anecdotes from the time when he was in Medina. And then we come to his statements when he encountered the opposition of the Ummah with regards to his decision, to see what had happened that Imam alayhi salam, despite that very generous and very noble character, had to take such a drastic action in the Ummah. It is again heard that they say that the morals, Christian morals, is different from Muslim morals. Because in gospel we have that if someone slaps you on the right cheek, you turn your left cheek to slap as well. However, in Islam we don't have this. We have justice, you have to take your right, and instead of right turning your left cheek, you just slap the same cheek that they have slapped you. This is wrong, of course. Islam teaches us exactly the same thing. Forgiveness, forbearance, treating others with generosity, generosity of character. This is the same thing in Islam as well. When we see, of course, resistance and the ayat that we have about jihad, about rising against zulm, this is in a different context, completely different context. And that is the context that we find Imam Hussein in later on. Now, one hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam with regards to the type of treatment of people that they should have with each other. He says that أَيُّمَ اثْنَيْنِ جَرَى بَيْنَهُمَا كَلَامٌ فَطَلَبَ أَحَدُهُمَا رِضَى الْآخَرِ كَانَ سَابِقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. If there is an argument, there is a dispute between two people, and one of them stops short of continuing this discussion to seek the pleasure of the other side, he will move to paradise before the other. سابقاً إلى الجنة. سابقاً إلى الجنة, it means that he actually has acquired Jannah, or he goes to paradise before the other one who has not stopped arguing to please him. This is the type of course, a character that Imam Hussein teaches us to have. So why in Karbala he didn't choose this? Why didn't he accept the Rida Yazid or Rida Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the pleasure of Yazid or Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, if he is teaching us this? So it shows that this is in a different context and the other one is different. Now, this is of course a statement. However, we have something from his behavior as well, which is very telling, very much telling. And of course, a big lesson for us. Especially, it's a big lesson because Imam alayhi salam, in this behavior, in this anecdote which I want to mention, and probably most of you have heard this, he judges himself and the person who argues with him with the verses of the Quran, and tries to adjust the character both for himself and for the other side with the verses of the Quran. And this is of course the meaning of that the Imams and Quran would not part until the Day of Judgment, which we discussed in our first or second session here. Now, the reporters say that someone came from Sham whose name was Assam ibn Mustalaq. And he came to Medina. Of course, in Sham, you could have imagined what propaganda was going against Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the most severe enemy of Muawiyah, of course, was Amirul Mu'min Ali ibn Abi Talib, then Imam Hassan alayhi salam, with whom he had a peace treaty, and of course, anyone related to them. So this man comes from Syria, and he actually had that sort of mentality given to him by the propaganda of Syria, by Syrian propaganda. He comes, but what he sees, what he observes from Imam Hussein alayhi salam is very different. And he says, when I saw his behavior, his noble character, and the way people respected him for his character, I became very upset. That is this the man that we hear about in Syria? Is this the man that we morning and evening are somehow hate in our hearts, on our tongues? Is this the one? So I said, I'm not going to let this man to escape from my tongue. I have to show my hatred here. And of course, because it was Banu Umayyah rule, he could have said anything he wished and no one could do anything. So he said that in one of his sessions, after he was talking to some of his companions, probably. So after he finished, I told him, are you the son of Abu Turab? And Abu Turab, of course, was the favorite title for Amirul Mu'mineen, himself favored it very much, and the people of Syria in a pejorative way were using it for Amirul Mu'mineen, because Turab means dust, Abu Turab means someone who is somehow mixed with dust or always accompanied by dust, something like that. They, on both sides, they liked this title of Abu Turab. So he said, are you the son of Abu Turab? He said, yes. He said, فَبَالَغْتُ فِي شَتْمِهِ وَشَتْمِ أَبِيهِ. I excessively swore at him and his father. Now, he doesn't say what he said or how long he swore at Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam alayhi salam just kept quiet, didn't say anything. After I finished, now you, as I said, this is a behavior of Imam Hussein in a different context. And you can see his behavior in another context. After I finished, فَنَظَرَ إِلَيَّ نَظْرَةَ عَاطِفٍ رَؤُوفٍ. He glanced at me in a very kind and merciful way. very kind. And he, without mentioning anything about me, about Syria, about his father, about himself, he just started to recite these verses from the Quran towards the end of Surah Al-A'raf, verses 198, five verses from there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خذ العاف وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. I think if you want to tell anyone what is Islamic morality, this is, I think, verse 198 or 199. If you want to tell anyone what is Islamic morality, just give them this verse. Always, always prefer forgiveness. خُذْ الْعَافْ means you have to accompany af, accompany forgiveness. You shouldn't separate from forgiveness. وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ and advise people to good. Now, if I do this, if I'm always forgiving, if I'm always enjoining good, what about those who cannot understand this and think that this is weakness in me? And they think that I cannot retaliate, I cannot respond. وَأَعْرَضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ Those people who are ignorant, they don't know, just turn away from them. Don't worry if they think you are weak, if they think you don't have any power to respond. And the following verse is very, very interesting. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Those who have taqwa, I think this is something that would tell us if we fall into confusion, if we slip when there is a shubha, when there is a confusion, when there is a situation, a fitna, a deception, if we slip, it means that we have to look into our past deeds. We have to look how we have behaved before. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا This is about the companions of the Prophet, يوم أحد. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا Those who turned away from battle. Because turning away from battle is a great sin. Now again, remember the context. This is war. This is battle. This is fighting. This is not at a time of peace or in the streets. Turning away from the battlefield is a big sin. Is one of the kaba'ir is turning away from the battlefield. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ Those of you who turned back in the battle, إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا Shaitan made them slip because of what they had already done. So when we slip, when there's a sin, when there is a confusion, we should know that we didn't have enough taqwa. Now, this verse says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا Those who have taqwa, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ Ta'if is from tawaf. We do tawaf on the house, we go around it. Actually, shayateen are like this. They come round us and they assess the heart. When this ta'if comes, when ta'if or shaitan comes, some have translated this as touch of shaitan. This is even before touching. This is assessing. Shaitan assesses the person. Can I penetrate? Can I go in? For muttaqin, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا They take heed. They are reminded that, look, this is that situation in which shaitan is approaching you. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Then they can see. They can realize, they can distinguish. So they would not slip. In such situations, they would not slip. وإخوانهم. However, إخوانهم means إخوان الشياطين. Those who are used to the company of shayateen. Shayateen all the time come to them, so these are called إخوان الشياطين. وإخوانهم يمدونهم في الغي. They take them, they drag them into misguidance. Now, Imam alayhi salam recited these verses for this person. Now, this person apparently wasn't a very bad person, but was influenced by the propaganda. And this, and again, tells us something, gives us a lesson. Be careful, do not be swayed. Do not be carried away by the propaganda which is made against people. This is very important. Sometimes we make decisions only based on unfounded propaganda against certain people, certain nations, certain groups. So, this man was just influenced by propaganda. Imam alayhi salam said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, خُذِ الْعَافْ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. وَإِمَّا يَنْسَيَنَّكَ, I didn't read this part. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If shaitan stirs you, you seek refuge in Allah, because muttaqin can realize when shaitan is just approaching, going around this man says that it was just like a cold water pouring on me. Imam was so calm, so tranquil when he was reciting these verses of the Quran. And it is as if it is being recited by Jibreel himself when someone like Imam Hussein alayhi salam recites these verses, of course. And something added even to my shame, what Imam did, added to my shame. He said that, I haven't seen you here before. Apparently you are a traveler. Do you have a good accommodation? Do you need anything in this city? Because we are, of course, established in this city, and I can help you if you need any help. And this made me even more passive in front of Imam alayhi salam. I couldn't really, really think what to say. And Imam alayhi salam detected regret in my face. Detected that I was so sorry about what I did. So, without me saying anything, he said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحم. The response of Yusuf alayhi salam to his brothers, that there is no blame on you today, Allah will forgive you, and he is Arhamur Rahimin. The same character, the same quality. All these come from the same source. Jesus alayhi salam, Hussein alayhi salam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, they are all the same in character, although of course they have their own natures and characters, but when it comes to these very basic and principal codes, of course they are all the same. It's very interesting from Yusuf, since I mentioned this. Yusuf was very forgiving, very much. Actually, when his father came and he wanted to hear what had happened, because his sons didn't tell him. They told him a lie. So he came to Yusuf, when they came to Yusuf, and once they were talking, Ya'qub told Yusuf, Ya Bunayya, my son, tell me, what did your brothers do to you? And Yusuf was really ashamed to say anything about what his brothers did. So he said, my father, don't ask me what my brothers did to me. That's not important. Ask what God did to me, then I explain for you. And this is what he said in the Quran. That's actually saying, addressing God, that I praise God who brought me out of this the prison and put me in this position, gave me kingdom, gave me mulk, and all these things. He mentions it actually to his father, that my Lord did all these things to me. How good it is if we have this sort of attitude. We never think what other people are doing to us. We always remember what God is doing to us. And if we have this character, I tell you, one of the most important things that we always have to thank God is having such a character. This is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. And then Imam said, you shouldn't be blamed for what you said. Because I guess you have come from Syria. The man said, yes, I've come from Syria. He said, Shen shenatuna arifuha min akhsab. Yes, I know what propaganda has made with you. So you shouldn't be ashamed at all. And then this Assam says that when I came out of that majlis, no one was loved most by me than Hussein ibn Ali and his father. Because the way I saw that attitude. Now, of course, the hadith is longer. I just cut it short. What I just wanted to say is that this is the character of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It seems to be a bit different from the character we see in Karbala. It seems as a bit different from what we see in front of that army. Wallah la u'tikum biyadi i'ta' al-dhalil wa la afirru firar al-abid. I never give my hand to you in humiliation. I never escape from you like slaves. Isn't this somehow contrary to what we see from this past record of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? No, the answer is, of course not. This is a different situation. This is a different duty. That is when, of course, individually Imam is dealing, interacting with people. And even with government, so long as the red lines are not crossed. When the red lines are crossed, then of course Imam has to speak out. Now compare this with what Imam alayhi salam said to Hur and his companions when they encountered each other. They were with each other, of course, for a long time. You know, Hur and Imam Hussein, initially they met in Dhu Hassam. And they prayed Zuhr and Asr together. And after Asr, Imam alayhi salam moved his people. And then they moved side by side until they came to Karbala. So several days they were with each other. Now, but on that first day, Tabari reports from Abu Mikhnaf, as I said, all reliable sources report from Abu Mikhnaf, because Abu Mikhnaf had heard the story firsthand. He had heard Uqbat ibn Sam'an, or Aqabat ibn Sam'an, both are mentioned, who was with the Imam Hussein, with Imam Hussein. He was the scribe of Imam Hussein and recording things. He has heard from him. He has heard from wife of Zuhair. If you remember, he said that I heard wife of Zuhair telling me this. He has heard from Hamid ibn Muslim, who was the recorder in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. So first hand. Now Tabari says, Abu Mukhnaf has reported that when Hussein alayhi salam met with Hur, and in one of his addresses, he said, because there were several sermons which Imam gave there, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ قَالَ من راى سلطانا جائرا مستحلا لحرم الله ناكثا لعهد الله مخالفا لسنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله يعمل في عباد الله بالاثم والعدوان فلم يؤير عليه بفعل ولا قول كان حقا على الله ان يدخله مدخله. This is the standard statement of Imam Hussein, usually mentioned. Very strong, very strong. He said that, O people, the Prophet, peace be on him, said, whoever sees an oppressing king, مُسْتَحِلًّا لِحُرُمِ اللَّهِ, which makes whatever Allah has made unlawful, makes it lawful, allows or performs, behaves unlawfully, ناكثاً لعهد الله, breaking the pledge of God, مخالفاً لسنة رسول الله, and he goes contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet, and he behaves among the people, بالإثم والعدوان, with sin and animosity, unjustly, and if anyone seeing this, فَلَمْ يُعَيِّرْ عَلَيْ, and do not say anything, do not do anything, do not rebuke. وَلَمْ يُعَيِّرْ, عَيَّرَهُ means rebuked him, reproached him. And do not rebuke with an act or a statement, it is rightful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take that person who is silent to the same place as he would take that oppressor. Very strong, isn't it? You are seeing all this. Now, what he was seeing now, this, of course, is related to what I was discussing in the past few nights. This is not happened. This has not happened in the rule of Yazid. Yazid is here just for a couple of months now. This is something which had a history. What Imam? But of course, Imam was silent to keep peace as long as the red lines were not crossed. As long as they just kept the appearance of the religion. However, when this is also broken, there is no reason for Imam to keep silent anymore. Allah, وَإِنَّ هَٰؤُلَاء, these people, قَدْ لَزِمُوا طَاعَةَ الشَّيْطَانِ, they have taken side with طَاعَةُ الشَّيْطَانِ, obeying Shaitan. وَتَرَكُوا طَاعَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ, وَأَظْهَرُوا الْفَسَادِ, they have brought about corruption. وَأَطَّلُوا الْحُدُودِ, they have abandoned the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَأَثَرُوا بِالْفَيْدِ, they have taken Baytul Mal for themselves. This is what I was talking last night about it. وَاسْتَأَثَرُوا بِالْفَيْدِ, وَأَحَلُّوا حَرَامَ اللَّهِ وَحَرَّمُوا حَلَالَهِ, they have made the lawful unlawful, unlawful lawful. وَأَنَا أَحَقُّ مَنْ أَيَّرُ. Now, if I do not say anything, who would say anything? Ana ahaq, because I am grandson of the Prophet. I am the, now in my word, I am the most noble Muslim. I am someone who actually people see as a role model. If I do not say anything, who should say? Who would say anything? Wa ana ahaqqu man ayyar. I am the most rightful person to rebuke and to say something and not keep quiet. And then he says, of course, وَقَدْ أَتَتْنِي كُتُبُكُمْ وَقَدِمَتْ عَلَيَّ رُسُلُكُمْ, your letters came to me, your messengers came to me, you invited me here, and now you have turned against me. I haven't come here to fight you. I have just made it clear that I'm not paying allegiance to Yazid. فَأَنَا الْحُسَيْنِ Ibn Ali wa Ibn Fatima bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I am Hussein, you know me. I'm son of Ali, I'm son of Fatima. So I have nothing to seek except, of course, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, again, Tabari mentions that Imam alayhi salam addressed people in the Hasam, the same place. like this. ثم قال إنه قد نزل من الأمر ما قد ترون. You see what has happened. It was not something hidden from Muslims. وإن الدنيا قد تغيرت وتنكرت وأدبر معروفها. You see how the world is changed. It has changed not for good, for evil. Munkar has overwhelmed ma'ruf. Ma'ruf has turned away and gone. ألا ترون أن الحق لا يعمل به؟ Do you not see that حق is not practiced؟ وأن الباطل لا يتناهى عنه؟ And باطل is not prevented. ليرغب المؤمن في لقاء الله محقا. If a person seeks death, it's rightful for them to do that because of the situation. And this very, very, of course, famous statement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam here, فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا السَّعَادَةَ وَلَا الْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرِمَا. I do not see death but success in this situation and living with the oppressors but disgust. This is what the situation has led to. So, if we look into all these, we would see that the two behaviors were in two different contexts. Both had come from one noble soul at a time of peace, at a time of war, at a time where he was interacting with individual Muslims, at a time when he wanted to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. Of course, here his attitude was different. Now, I would like to finish my talk about Imam Hussein alayhi salam with a very beautiful hadith from Imam, which I think it was realized for him. It was realized for him. And I think he actually had somehow inspired for this statement from his mother, Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. It's reported from Fatima Zahra, peace be on her, Man as'ada ila Allah khalisa ibadatih ahbatallahu ilayhi afdala maslahatih as'ada ahbata. Now, whoever sends up their sincere ibadah for Allah, not thinking about consequences, repercussions or whatever, what is their duty they do sincerely and they send it up to Allah and they leave things to Him. Ahbatallahu ilay, from the other side, Allah sends on them the best of their maslah, what is best for them. This is what is reported from Fatima al-Zahra, peace be on her. Now, this sentence is reported from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in a different way, but I think, of course, he was inspired by his mother about this. Imam Hussein is reported to have said, Man abadallaha haqqa ibadatih. Whoever worships God the way God deserves to be worshipped, truly, true worship. And worship, by worship, of course, he doesn't mean only salat or sawm or sadaqah. No. Even Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, what he did is included in that. Any duty that a Muslim may have is included in all these. Man abadallah haqqa ibadati. Whoever worships God the way Allah deserves to be worshipped. Atahullah fawqa raghbatihi wa kifayati. Allah will give them what is beyond their desire. Beyond their desire. We have this hadith also from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Man shagalahu dhikri am mas'alati a'taytuhu fawqa ata'id raghibin. Something like this. The second part, I'm not sure about the exact statement. Whoever my dhikr, my remembrance, keeps him from asking me. How is it possible that Allah's remembrance keeps you from asking him? Well, you go to him, you praise him, you cry for him, you worship him, but you are so occupied that you do not ask anything. It's said that Imam alayhi salam says in Misbah al-Sharia, it's reported from him, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that sometimes I had a haja, I started praising God, because when you want to ask something from God, you have to put yourself in that atmosphere of holiness and spirituality, so that you can connect and bring down the fazl and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we are told, whenever you want to ask something, we start with praise of Allah, we start with greeting the Prophet, peace be on him, and then ask. And this is what you see in all dua of A'imma alayhimus salam. It starts with a praise, it ends with a praise, and in the middle there is a request. So Imam says that sometimes I had a haja, I had something to ask from God, I started praising him, and I forgot what I wanted, because I was so attracted to God's dhikr and beauty that I forgot what I wanted. So, man shagalahu dhikri am mas'alati. Whoever my dhikr keeps him away, occupies him from asking me things, I will give him more than what those who ask me, who request me, I will give them more than that. Here, Imam alayhi salam says, man abadallah haqqa ibadate. Whoever worships God the way he deserves, Allah will give him beyond his desire and his sustenance and what is sufficient for him. I think this, in the highest way, was realized for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He did worship God the way he deserved, by giving his life. Of course, giving one's own life is very easy. But if you see your son, your brother, your cousin is slain before your eyes, that is very difficult, of course. Those in Karbala who were martyred first, they were the luckiest, because they didn't see the musibah. The person who saw the highest musibah was Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because he saw everyone, all his companions, all his family being slain. So he did, of course, worship God the way God deserves to be worshipped, by giving whatever he had. Now look what Allah has given him. Can you imagine? Can anyone imagine this Sayyidu Shuhada being given such a status that in every Muharram, we come together, we talk about the Quran, we talk about Mawa'iz, we do repent. I mean, just put aside talking about Imam Hussein, crying for him, that's another merit, of course. But he has actually changed the history. And this is what Allah has given him, and the position that inshallah we see for him on the day of judgment. I hope inshallah Allah would permit us to see and to understand that position which Allah inshallah will give Imam Hussein on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
We now have some time for questions.
Thank you, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
The question that I'm about to ask is not my question, but it's one of the ladies' question related to the period that we commemorate the Shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The question is that, okay, we commemorate this first 10 or 11 or 12 nights, and then it goes on for until the 9th Rabiul Awal. Was that during the time of the Imam that they commemorated a mourning period up to the 9th Rabiul Awal, or in between, say, for example, after the first few nights, say, up to 12 or 15 nights, then they had their normal way of life?
Well, these are customs which were made later on. a good custom would persist. A bad custom would not persist, of course. Now we have to see if this custom has persisted and how long it would persist. Certainly this is not something to do with faith or with what A'imma have told us to do. Some of these customs even are cultural and depend on the area, location, time. In some cultures, the way they mourn is quite different from other cultures. And it's very, very important that we should distinguish between the two, between the cultures and between what is, of course, mentioned in traditions and in ahadith. However, not every custom is bad. That's quite clear. I mean, this is a custom that every night we come together and commemorate. This is a custom. This is not something mentioned in hadith. What is mentioned in hadith is that you have to commemorate and mourn for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But how you do it, what is the meaning of mourning in your culture, is different. In some cultures, of course, mourning was very harsh and very violent. As we see in some cultures, mourning is very violent. And unfortunately, this violent type of mourning, they are somehow extending it to other cultures, which are quite unfamiliar with these type of violent mournings. For example, even at the time of the Prophet, I have seen myself in some cultures, it's quite common when someone dies, the women just scratch their face until blood comes. I have seen it in some parts of Iran, they do it. Especially the Kurds, they are still very much strong in this culture. This was what was being done at the time of the Prophet, peace be on him, and he actually prohibited it. He said that you shouldn't do it. And therefore, that means this is a wrong culture. However, if a culture is good, if a culture is beneficial, if it is not something which would cause things to be done contrary to the faith, I don't think we should oppose that culture.
Just very quickly, if you don't mind, is that in Indo-Pak, for example, there is a culture that within this 2.5 months after the first few days of mourning is passed away, we don't even speak about engagement or announcement or anything, only after 9th Rabiul Awal. So, and I don't know whether this culture is in Arabian Peninsula or Iranian, or how does it, because we have heard that even in the house of Imam alayhi salam, in the progeny, there has been some kind of marriages taking place within this period after the first few nights of the mourning. Can you?
Well, the only thing I can say is that this is a big punishment for our youngsters. Yeah.
Any question on the lady side? Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for the talk. A quick question on the idea about Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan doing different things, and them being principally from the same soul, and them choosing different things based on the circumstance that they were in. Is this partially, at least, based on the theological concept of Ola? One, if you do something which is the best thing in your circumstance, and that is a requirement for an Imam. If that wasn't the case, may it have been a different choice, which was the right, a right choice, but not necessarily the right. The best.
Well, of course, it's very difficult to say that if Imam Hassan was in place of Imam Hussein, he would have made the same choice due to his character. But due to what we hear from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he actually mentions that it is not rightful for anyone in my position to keep quiet. And since, of course, their knowledge is quite the same, we can imagine that Imam Hassan would have done exactly the same thing in that situation.
Any more questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
I was just wondering about the events after the demise, or just before the demise of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, you know, we had the event of Ghadir Khum, where it was clearly stated about Imam Ali's position, and why, you know, the masses changed that so much soon after the Prophet's death, which then led on to all the things, you know, about the materialistic side of things going on, you know, whether these things had already started just before Prophet's demise, or, you know, just leading up to Imam Hussein's Shahadat in the end.
Yeah, good point. That's whether things were going on before the demise of the Prophet. I think, yes, even before the demise of the Prophet, the situation in Medina was not a very desirable situation. Not everyone were actually under the total obedience of the Prophet. I think the best source which can tell us how Medina was before the demise of the Prophet, and of course that led to many things after the demise of the Prophet. We cannot just think that by demise of the Prophet everything were flowery and nice, rosy. Surah Tawbah. Surah Tawbah is, apart from being a surah of the Quran, I think it's a very, very important historical source. It's a historical document telling us what was the situation in Medina before the demise of the Prophet. People criticizing the Prophet, not obeying him, accusing him, slandering him. It's all mentioned in Surah Tawbah. So these people, of course, did not disappear after the demise of the Prophet. And certainly they were the playing agents in the politics after the demise of the Prophet. So it needs a deep analysis. However, since things have become theological and ideological, it's very difficult to talk about it. And therefore, we have a 1,400-year-old dispute between the Shias and Sunnis about what happened after the Prophet, what happened towards the end of the life of the Prophet. And I don't think we can resolve this. This is something that we have to agree that we disagree. We don't touch it until, inshallah, Allah will judge between us by Imam al-Asr, for whom those who believe in him, and on the Day of Judgment for others who believe in that as well.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. In that verse that you mentioned, you said that Shaitan caused those who ran away from Uhud to slip. If we say that that's what happened to perhaps the Ummah at the time because of whatever actions that they'd done in the past, and they were then caused to slip, which meant that they ended up in that situation where they were facing Imam Hussein. How do we compare that to the life of Hur, who, for instance, was the reason that Imam Hussein perhaps ended up in Karbala, but then at the last moment changed sides? And also then in our own lives, because we've all committed sins that have caused us perhaps to slip as well. What hope is there, or what are the paths that will allow us to kind of change sides effectively at the last minute even?
I think we have to look into the life of Hur and compare it, say, for example, with the life of Umar ibn Sa'd, because both of them were in that situation of making the final decision. And certainly, if Umar ibn Sa'd slipped, it was because of a bad record in his life. And if Hur was successful in making the right decision, probably because of what he had done before. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive on our path, we will guide them. Allah certainly will guide those who are muhsanun. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. Allah is with Muhsaneen. And therefore, if we see someone is abandoned to make these wrong decisions, very, very wrong, dramatic, of course, small wrong decisions all of us make, but these dramatic wrong decisions, I think we have to somehow look into what we have done in the past.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think we're on the salawat.
Thank you.